Milvans and Kolel give my Gush and Hepner on Sunday 26th of June 2011, Kaf Dalet Sivan Toshin Ein Aleph. And we're on Tehillim chapter Yudches, and we're almost at the end of Pasuk Gimel. So let's just go through Pasuk Gimel again. Hashem Sali Umetzadosi. Hashem is my rock, Umetzadosi, and my fortress, Umafalti, and my rescuer, Keli, my God, Suri, my rock, Echesebo, I will take refuge in him, Mogini, my shield, the Keren Yeshi, and the horn of my salvation, Misgabi, my elevated one, stronghold again, that's right, thank you. Okay, so we really began this pasuk last week, and we're almost at the end of it. I'll just point out the differences between this pasuk and the pasuk in Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Gimel. I've left a bookmark in there for you. Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Gimel. You see there are a number of differences between our pasuk and the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Gimel. No, it's chapter Kaf Beis, sorry. Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, and it's Pasuk Dalet. No, it's not, it's Pasuk Gimel there. Got it. It's Pasuk in Beis and Gimel there. Start again. Right, the difference is between our Pasuk in Tehillim chapter Yudches, Pasuk Gimel, and Pasukim in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, Pasuk in Beis and Gimel. So if we compare them by Yomar, in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, Pasuk Beis, you got Vayomar, he said, Hashem Salim Sadosi Mefalti Li. Now, first of all, you got that word Vayomar, which does not appear in our chapter Yudches and Tilim, but the reason for that is very simply because in our chapter we've got the word Vayomar at the beginning of Pasuk Beis. In our chapter Yudches, Pasuk Beis, Vayomar Erchomcha Hashem Chizki, that Pasuk doesn't appear at all in Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis, but it begins with the word Vayomar, and that word Vayomar is found in Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis, Pasuk Beis over there, Vayomar. Hashem Salim Sadosi Umafalti Li. The difference there being that we've got the word Umafalti Li in Shmuel Beis, but we haven't got the word Li in our Pasuk in Tehillim. We just got Umafalti. No, they have an identical translation. Vayomer is the normal way of saying it. Vayomar is the pausal form, like at the end of a pasuk or an esnachta. And here you've got this on the esnachta. No, but it's on. But the note is an esnachta. A pause in the pasuk, so it changes to vayomar. In meaning, they have exactly the same meaning. If a Baal Kriya were getting them mixed up, he would not need to correct because they have identical meaning. Okay, so in Shmuel Beis we've got the word Vayomar. We don't have it here in Tehillim. We've also got different neginas. The neginas are quite different between Shmuel Beis and chapter Yudches, and the reason for that is because the words are different. If the words are different, then the flow of the pasuk has to be different, so you end up with different notes. Another difference which is not noted in the Mefarshim is the word spelling on the word Umetzadosi. In our pasuk in Tehillim, we've got Umetzadosi with a letter Vav, and in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, it's written without a Vav, Umetzadosi, and I haven't seen anyone who comments on that. Another difference is that in Shmuel Beis, we've got Umafalti Li, we've got that word Li, which is the last pasuk there on pasuk Beis, and now it's just got Umafalti. Another difference is our pasuk's got, pardon? No, where? In Tehillim? No, Keli. No, you've got the word Keli. No, you mix up with the word Keli. There we've got in Shmuel Beis we've got Umafalti Li. Yeah. And in ours, in Tehillim Yudches, it's just got Umafalti. Can you see that? It's Keli. My God, Keli. In Tehillim. Let me check that. Hang on, I've got it here. No, the last word on the line. Kaylee. It's Kaylee. Look at the Aleph. You've got two dots under the Aleph. Yeah? You did scare me for a minute. Yeah, Kaylee. Yeah. Kaylee, my God. And that's actually another difference. Because in our prosecution, we've got Kaylee, my God. And in Shmuel Beis, it's got Elokei, Tsuri. Elokei, the God of my rock. Elokei, Tsuri. Whereas now we've got Kaylee, my God, Tsuri, my rock. So slight differences there. The Abraham Benel explains that in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, that chapter is devoted to, it's a very personal tefillah from David. It's David's personal tefillah asking for success in battle and thanking Hashem for success in his battles. While in Tehillim, it's a more generic tefillah for all generations, for all time. And therefore, they're going to get these slight differences. So for example, I don't really understand how this answers all the differences, but it does answer the one word difference, umafalti li, when Shmuel Beis, David says, umafalti li, he is the rescuer for me. That's a personal statement, while in Tehillim, it's not meant to be so personal, it's a generic tefillah for all times. I don't quite see how this Abba Benel explains other differences, like Kaylee, which we've got in Tehillim Yud Ches, and Elokei, which we've got in Shmuel Beis. So you've got those differences. Okay, let's move on. In Shmuel Beis, on the phrase V'keren Yishi, which of course is in our Pasuk as well, V'keren Yishi, the horn of my salvation, there's the Pirush by the Mahari Korah, explains there the Keren Yishi, the Keren, the horn of my salvation. What horn are we talking about? He says we're talking about the trumpets which are blown after a victory in battle. Yeah? So that's how he explains it. That's the trumpets blown in after battle victory. Oh, now Hashem, back to our Pesukim here. Hashem Sali Umetzadosi. Hashem Sali. Now the word Sali, we know, means a rock. Sali, my rock. Sela is a rock. Samach Lamed Ayin is a rock. Hashem Sali, God is my rock. Now the Sefer Eretz HaChaim, he writes there, he quotes the Pesuk in Shmuel, when Shmuel fights, when David fights against Goliath. Okay, now, Pasuk says in Shmuel, it's Shmuel Aleph, and it's chapter Yud Zayin, Pasuk Mem. Let's get this here. Chapter Yud Zayin, Pasuk Mem. Here we are. Yud Zayin. How does David go to fight Goliath? Vayikach maklo, he took his stick, biyado in his hand, vayiv chalo, and he chose himself, chamisha chalukia avonim, five smooth stones from Anachal, from the river, he put them in his shepherd's pouch or shepherd's bag, and he hurled a stone, he fired a stone at Goliath and killed him. Says the Eretz HaChaim, based on a number of Medroshim and apparently also on a piece of Zohar, that the stone that David used to kill Goliath wasn't really the weapon. The weapon that David really used was by uttering one of the names of Hashem. Rather like when Moshe killed the Mitzri in the beginning of Sefer Shemos, Parsha Shemos, when Moshe killed the Mitzri, Rashi there says he killed him by uttering one of the names of Hashem, and that killed off the Mitzri. Likewise here, David uttered one of the names of Hashem, and with that killed Goliath. And the stone was maybe like a cover for, you know, so the papers have something to report. You know, the stone seems to be the that was what we could see. What we didn't see was that he uttered the name of Hashem. Hashem Sali.
It is one of the names that in the Avoda and Yom Kippur. One of these names that we don't know.
We don't know.
Which is called in English
Tetragrammaton. Yes, that is Yudke Vovke.
Yeah.
I think. I could never know. How do you pronounce that word?
Tetragrammaton.
Fantastic.
So did he say that one of those names, the Yudke Vovke?
I think it probably was Yud Kei Vav Kei, based on this piece of Eretz Chaim.
The tetragrammaton is the one which was used to perform miracles.
I thought the tetragrammaton was Yud Kei Vav Kei, but I'm not sure.
It is.
Is it? You sure? Yes. Yeah? Okay.
Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's what Art Scroll and Norman Taylor call the Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yeah. Right. Okay. So David killed Goliath using Yud Kei Vav Kei.
There's a difference between Moshe killing the Egyptian and David killing Goliath. Because Moshe killing this was in private. It was in private. No one saw. This was a public spectacle. And you also, a miracle, you've got there always will be a manifestation of, you want help from above, you do something yourself. So the something he saw was a sling of stone. And Hashem took the rest of the rest. But that it should be shown that you're doing something to you're not just depending on a miracle.
Scarce, yeah? Says the Sefer Eretz Chaim, he took five stones. Now, what's the significance of five stones? He says, first of all, there's one medrash which says he took five names. The name of Hashem, the name of Aharon, the name of Avraham, the name of Yitzchak, and the name of Yaakov. And this five stones really were five names. And he killed Goliath using these five names. I do not understand what that means. Another explanation is that he took Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Shem Hashem, and he used that to kill Goliath. Now, how does Yud Kei Vav Kei translate into what the Pasuk calls five stones? Since we've got four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei, plus the Yud has one extra addition to it. Now, I brought along here this wonderful sample letter Yud, as written in the Sefer Torah, and it's that coats at the top. The coats of Shel Yud. The coats means a, or a tug. Sounds called a tug. A little stalk, a little extra. Not stalk. Like a thorn, yeah, thank you. A thorn, that's better. A thorn. No, this was given to me by Mordechai Marx many years ago. And it's good preparation for next Sunday's Suffer Sunday. Don't forget. Right, okay. So you've got this, now that little extra sharp point, we're not used to that, because in our Siddurim and our Chumashim, it's not printed like that. Because in the Sefer Torah, that is how a letter Yud has to be written, with that top coat. It's called Kotso Shel Yud, the thorn of the Yud. Thank you for that. Yeah, the thorn of the Yud. Now, that translates, because that's considered like a little extra on the Yud, therefore it translates into five. Yud, K, Vav, K, four letters, plus Kotso Shel Yud, the extra thorn on top of the Yud, the extra line above the Yud. Okay? That's how a Yud has to be written. Okay. Now, I've actually made a small mistake there. The Kotso Shel Yud is the little protrusion from the bottom left-hand corner of the Yud coming down, often referred to as the Ukut Derabbeinu Tam, that little extra line that needs to be drawn protruding outwards and downwards from the bottom left-hand corner of the Yud. So that's how he explains it. So he actually killed Goliath with the Shem Hashem. It's also based on the words from the Pasuk of Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem gives you five words, and Echad, because he quotes another Medrash which says the five stones that David took coalesced in his bag into one single stone. Exactly like Yaakov. Yeah, Yaakov is sleeping on all the stones, he is sleeping with the stones around him, and they all join together. Alay Yanech Tadik Es Rosho, I want to be the one stone where the Tadik lays his head, and so they all coalesced into one stone. Reminds me of the mice of the Tadik who's sitting on a wickerwork chair, and all the, you know, and all the gaps between the slats said, I want to be the gap where the tzaddik sits. So all the gaps coalesced into one, and the tzaddik fell through the chair. Now, okay, so like the stones of the Yaakov all coalesced into one, so likewise these stones, apparently five stones, all coalesced into one. So Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is five words corresponding to five stones, followed by Echod. They all joined into one. And it was this Hashem Echod that David used to kill Goliath. So that's echoed in our pasuk. Hashem Sali, Hashem is my stone. Hashem is the stone the shame Hashem is the stone that I used to hit to kill Goliath.
It must have been a reasonably small stone. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to enter.
Yeah,
who knows? The Medrash that I don't know. That he had this huge helmet on. Kova. He had this metal helmet that he was wearing, and the metal helmet parted in order to make way for the stone. Now, normally, that if the stone would have hit the helmet, it just would have bounced off. But the Medrash says that the metal helmet parted, allowing the stone to go through and kill Goliath. Based on that, every bris milah nowadays is performed with a metal knife. In years gone by, they did a bris milah with a stone, with a flint stone, a sharp stone, like Vatikach Tzipporot Tzer. Tzipporah, when she did the bris milah in Parshas Shmos, she took a tzer, which is a flint stone. And yet, and in recognition of the fact that the metal parted, gave way for the stone, so now stone gives way to metal. I first heard that from Rabbi Roberts in a shir, or maybe it was a Siddur's Bris, I'm not sure. And he quoted it, and I think it's either from the Bach or from the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Mila. And I looked it up and I saw it, but I can't remember if it's in the Bach or the Beis Yosef, but it's brought from the Medrash. That now stone gives way to metal in recognition of the fact that metal gave way to stone. Okay. You right?
I don't get the logic.
Because the metal helmet gave way to the stone fired by David, therefore now stone, which we used to use to perform a bris milah, a sharpened stone.
You mean it's hakaras hatot?
Absolutely.
Is that the logic?
Thank you. Yeah, I should have said that. Hakaras hatot to the metal for giving way to the stone. So now the stone returns the favour, so to speak, and steps to one side, and metal takes over, and the bris milah is always done with metal. With a metal knife.
So it's the metal, we elevate the metal
exactly.
To a higher level, so it's more important because of the metal.
And the bris milah nowadays done with metal knife. Good. Okay. Still with the Sefer Eretz HaChaim, he says that Tzuri, David refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Tzuri, my rock, Echos Bo, I will take refuge in him. What is this Tzur? He says, I don't know where he gets this from, he says the Tzur is Midas Hadin. A rock, I suppose it's might, it's strength, it's representative of Hashem's Midas Hadin. And yet here, it's changed from Midas Hadin into Midas Harachmin, because he's saying, Hashem is my rock, I take refuge in him, he looks after me. But really, Tzur, it should in theory be Midas Hadin. And he says, he quotes the pasuk that we know from Hallel, from Tehillim chapter Kuf Yud Dalet pasuk Ches, Ha'ofchi Hatzur Agam Moyim. The rock is turned around into a pool of water. Now that's a reference. Oh, it's this week's Sedra, Parashas Chukas, when Moshe hit the rock and water came out. Now, of course, the rock would normally be Midas Hadin, but here in that story of Moshe hitting the rock changed into Midas Harachmin and supplied water for Klal Yisrael, and that's referred to in the pasuk Ha'ofchi Hatzur Agam Moyim. Likewise here, because Ha'ofchi Hatzur, the Tzur is swapped around from Midas Hadin to Midas Harachmin. Here we have Tzuri, it's Midas Harachmin. Originally, a rock would have been Midas Hadin. Hashem turned it round into Midas Harachmin. That's brought in the Sefer Eretz HaChaim. Now, what about Mogini? I'm still with the Sefer Eretz HaChaim. Mogini, my shield. The Keren Yishi and the horn of my salvation. Mogini, my shield. Now, the Sefer Eretz HaChaim goes to town on this and even draws a diagram in case you're not sure what a Mogain David is. He's got a diagram in the Sefer. And he says, the shield that was used by the Malchei Yisrael, by the armies of the kings of Yisrael, the northern kingdom, were triangular shields. Those are the shields used by the soldiers of the north, the northern kingdom. while the shields of David's army were two interposing triangles, which we call the Mogin David, the shield of David. And this Mogini, Hashem is my shield, because the shield of David has this, had this remarkable shape of two triangles, one placed upon the other. Yeah, it's placed
so
one on the other. Yes. It was on the shape of the shields was apparently in the shape. While the shields of the Malchi Yisrael armies were a single triangle. Okay. Now,
medieval shields were that sort of shape as well.
Oh, were they?
Well, you look at any shield, you know, any emblem on the royal family shield is like that. But they use the thing. They use the shield. The shields in medieval times were that sort of shape. It's a shield. It's triangular.
Yeah.
So it was the only thing that was used. Probably what looked the one.
Not triangular.
But it's a curved triangular.
Mm-hmm.
It's three corners, three corners rather than six corners.
You'd come straight down and then
that. Yeah, it's three corners.
That would avoid getting speared with your own shield, you know, because if you're not careful and it's very sharp, pointed,
yeah,
you could spear yourself with your own shield.
It's logical to say if a person's shoulders is wide, and you come down to
yeah, same. With a triangular one, that's the problem with a triangular one. Is it could cause unintended damage to the holder of the shield.
Oh, at the bottom?
Yeah.
He could hurt himself on the pointed edge
yeah.
of the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Also, he could use the point to turn it round and
bear that.
No.
Okay. At any rate, these are the differences in the shields between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus based David. Hence the Mogen David.
Yeah. What does Malchus Yisrael mean then?
Malchus Yisrael was the northern kingdom. After the kingdom split in the days of Yerovam, who became the king in the northern half of the country,
yeah.
Malchus.
So at this point in time, this was not an issue yet.
No, not yet. But Malchus based David continued. The descendants of David, who were the kings of David, they had these shields, even in the, they had the. The six-pointed shields,
mm-hmm.
what we call the Mogin David.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He also says that the six-pointed shield, i.e., what we call the Mogin David, he calls it. That he says that together with David himself gives you a number seven. 6 points on the shield plus David himself giving you the number seven, and he says that refers to. The seven sephiros, which I really don't understand what they are, but these are seven descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not sure, which are Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. Those are six of them, and plus one more, which is Malchus. And the Malchus one is the one represented by David, who was himself a Melech. So the 6 points on the shield represent the first of the six.
And the other three are Chabad, Chochma, Bina, and Das. Then you get the other seven. The first three are sort of abstract. The others are material.
Uh-huh. Right. Oh, I never knew that. So they're ten spheres. Oh yeah, Echod Esses Sephiros. It's one of those mirrors for Siddush Lishus. Echod Esses Sephiros. Okay.
Is that what Chabad
stands for? Yeah. So maybe I've used the wrong word then. When I described Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hodim, Yesod, and Malchus as Sephiros, maybe I've got the wrong word. Maybe it's called something else. I'm not sure. These are seven.
Sephiros are the attributes of
Hashem. Yeah.
And the middles come from. You're talking about the middles, the seven that you mentioned are the middles, were humans that exercise.
Uh-huh.
The other three are from spiritual.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So we have the Malchus one, which is the seventh one, is represented by David. So he says also you got the 6 points on the shield. Mogin David, 6 points on the shield, plus one for David himself, giving you token number seven. But I have to say something which I said in the very first Tehillim Shir, all those eons ago, about this shape Mogin David, which I heard from my brother Yecheskel, who heard it from Rabbi Cooper Seichas Hadei Levracha. The ancient Dalad was written like the Greek letter Delta. In fact, the word Dalud is really the same as the Greek word Delta, right?
Yes.
Yeah? And the Greek letter Delta was drawn as a single triangle. Okay? That's the Greek letter Delta. Pointed side up.
Yeah.
The mathematicians use it as a symbol for differentiation. Yeah? For calculus. Yeah. Okay. The Delta shape, right? Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. Now, the David's name, the primary letters in David's name are the two Dalads. Those are the two main consonants. So the two main consonants in David's name, the two Dalads, represented by the two triangular shapes, which was the way the Dalad was originally written, would be David's signature. The two Dalads. And that's what Rabbi Cooper said, hence the Mogen David were two Dalad, two triangles, one on top of the other, in that shape, to represent, although the Dalad, the Delta, was originally written with the pointed side up, so David reversed one of them to give this unusual shape, and that was apparently David's signature.
Why does it have
three D's? Two Dalads. Dalad, Vav, Dalad. Oh, so the Vav is not the main... the two main consonants you can hear in that word, David, are the two Dalads.
Mm-hmm.
They're much more prominent than the Vav.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
The Vav so, is the hook that makes the two...
If you like, yeah. So the two Dalad sounds are the two main consonants that you can hear, and hence the Mogen David, yeah? Mm-hmm. And I said that in the first Tillim Shir, the introduction to Sefer Tillim. Okay. Sticking still with the... So this Mogini, Mogini, my shield. David's referring to his shield, which had this unusual shape of the two triangles. Okay. Still with the Sefer Eretz HaChaim, he quotes the Pasuk about the prayer of Chana. Now, when Chana was davening for a child... But it's in Shmuel Aleph, chapter base, Pasuk Aleph. Vatispala Chana Vatomar, Olat Slivi Bashem, my heart rejoices in God. Romo Karni Bashem, my horn is exalted with God. Now, the Gemara explains this phrase, Romo Karni Bashem. The Gemara is found in Megillah Daf Yudalad, Amud Aleph. Let me show you this Gemara. Where the Gemara compares two the different ways of anointing a king. Says the Gemara, based on this pasuk, Romo Karini Bashem. Let me just find this. Romo Karini, says the Gemara, Vlo Romo Pachi. My horn is exalted, not my jug is exalted. Pach is a jug. What does that mean? Chana chose the words very carefully. My horn, Romo Karni Bashem. David and Shlomo, Shenim Shechu Bekeren. David and Shlomo were both anointed for their kingdom with a horn of oil. And what happened? Nim Shecha Malchuston, their dynasty, their dynasty was sustained, or their dynasty was maintained. Nimshcha, it continued, prevailed, it continued through many, many generations. It was spread out. It stretched through many, many, many generations. The generations of the dynasty of David, followed by his son Shlomo. However, Shaul and Yehu, two kings, Shenim Shechu Bapach, they were anointed with a pach, with a jug. Lenim Shechom Al Chuson, their kingdoms were not, didn't last too long. Or their dynasties, I should say, did not last long. Now, let me get my notes here. Oh, Yehu, well, let's first do David. David, David, his anointing is recorded, it's in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 10, Zion. and it's Pasuk Yud Gimel, when Shmuel HaNovi anoints David, Pasuk says, it's in chapter, it's Shmuel Aleph chapter 39, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayikach Shmuel es Kerem HaShemen. Shmuel took the horn of oil. Now it's a horn of an animal with a stopper at the bottom, at the thin end, and they used to fill it and was used as a keli, and used it with oil, and the oil would be poured out. We mentioned it last week, how when he was anointed, the oil bubbled up and came out automatically. Yeah? So David was anointed with a keren. When Shlomo was anointed, Shlomo's anointing as king is recorded in Melachim Aleph, chapter Aleph, Pasuk Lamedtes, where the Pasuk says, Vayikach Tzadok HaKohen es Keren HaShemen min ha'ohel. Tzadok HaKohen, he took this horn of oil from the ohel. Vayimshach HaShemen, he anointed Shlomo. So again, David and Shlomo both anointed with a Keren. However, when Shaul was anointed by Shmuel, that Pasuk is in... That's in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Yud, Pasuk Aleph. Vayikach Shmuel es pach HaShemen. He took a jug of oil, okay, for Shaul, when Shmuel wanted to anoint Shaul. So Shaul is anointed with a pach, and when Yehu was anointed. Now Yehu is, that's in Melachim Beis, chapter Tes, Pasuk Aleph. Chapter Tes, Pasuk Aleph. The Elisha Novi Koel Achad Mebeanavim. Elisha appointed one of his students, who is a Novi, to anoint Yehu. Vayemelo Chagam Asnecho Vekach Pach Hashem. And take a jug of oil, Hazeh, this jug of oil, Vyadecho, Velechon Ramis Gilad. Go to Ramah Skinner, and there you'll find Yehu ben Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi, and he was anointed as the next king. Now, these dynasties, the dynasty of Shaul and the dynasty of Yehu, were interesting. They did have a dynasty.
Northern kingdom,
yes, absolutely. Now, they did have dynasties. First of all, Malchus based David, in the southern kingdom of David, was, of course, one dynasty that stretched all the way down from David, from father to son, all the way down to Tzidkiyahu, who is the king at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, and Melech HaMashiach will be descended from the same line. So that is one dynasty only. While the dynasty of the northern kingdom wasn't really a dynasty at all, because different kings came from different families. It did not get passed down generally from father to son, and it's very often the new king became the new king because he killed the last king, and that's how they hopped the throne, by assassinating the last king. But Yehu did have a dynasty. Yehu was king, so was his son Yehoahaz, so was his son Yehoash, so was his son Yerobam, and so was his son Zechariah. So there was a dynasty there. But it didn't last longer than that. Okay? Five kings, father to son, all the way. But it didn't last. But after that, that dynasty came to an end. Likewise, Shaul had a dynasty as well, because Shaul became king, and so did his son Ishbosheth. Mm-hmm. But not for long, 2 years. Shaul was king for 2 years, Ishbosheth was king for 2 years. So although there was a dynasty there, because it did go from father to son, it didn't last very long. So Shaul and Yehu were both anointed with a jug, didn't last long. While David and Shlomo were both anointed with a keren, with a horn, and it did last long. Their dynasties did last. And therefore, when Hannah davened, she said, Roma karini b'Hashem, my horn is exalted. Karini dafke keren, not a pach, but a keren. That's how the Gemara brings it in Megillah Daf Yedaleh Amud Aleph.
Shmuel used a pach for Shaul. A keren for David. Why?
Don't know why. That's a reasonable answer, yeah. Through Ruach HaKodesh. Could well be. Interestingly enough...
Why was Ishbosheth anointed?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. You got me there. I had to think on that. He wasn't. Shaul was. and therefore his dynasty, therefore he did have a dynasty, but it didn't last longer than two generations, Shaul and then his son Ishbosheth.
And who was anointing you, the legal king from the north?
Oh, thank you for asking that. The king, did you say illegal kings?
Yes, illegal.
They weren't illegal.
Who in Hashem give permission some of these peoples to become king?
Yeah, I don't think they were illegal. In fact, Yerovam was the very first of them, and Yerovam was declared king. I don't think he was anointed, but he was declared king by Achio Hashiloni, who was a Novi and who was told to do so. He was told to go and appoint Yerovam as the king. So I wouldn't call them illegal.
So were they all given permission?
I don't know. And many of them became king because they used up the crown and by assassinating the last king.
Kings of the north forbade their people to go to Jerusalem. They were forbidden.
Yeah, Yerovam stopped that. Yerovam was, of course, a Russian. Chotav Hechti, he was a sinner and he stopped people from going to be Olel HaRegel. That's right. He had a reason for doing that.
He set up his own
temples in Don and Basel.
Yeah.
So Yerovam, of course, that first king, Yerovam, was indeed an evil man. Yeah? Yerovam. He had been a big Tom Chocham, and he went bad. But I wouldn't call them illegal, unless maybe you call the later kings who used up the crown, maybe there was an illegality there. But one thing which you did say is very important. You said that, you asked me who anointed them, and the answer is they were not anointed. Malchus based David were anointed, but the Malchus Yisrael were not anointed, with the one exception of Yehu. He was anointed, but he was anointed with this pach, with a jug.
Who anointed Yehu?
The name of the Novi who anointed Yehu is not given, but Elisha appointed that Novi. Elisha asked one of his Talmidim to go and anoint Yehu. But I don't think his name is given. No. He's just called Hamna'ar. Yeah, his name is not given.
That's the reason why Shmuel anointed Shul with the Pach, because Shul was the tribe of Benjamin and David is the tribe of Yehudah, so he knew that he wanted to differentiate between the two.
Mashiach as well will be anointed with a horn.
Yeah,
oh yes, of course. Can I tell Mashiach himself?
One thing connected to this idea of the horn is brought by the Yalkut Me'am Lois, who says a pach is an earthenware jug. If an earthenware jug becomes tome, there is nothing you can do to make it tahar other than to smash it. You smash the jug, and then the bits and pieces, the shards, are tahar. But that's it. You can't stick it in a mikveh or anything like that. It will not become tahar in any other way. So Shaul was anointed with a pach, with an earthenware jug. Symbolic of the fact that when he did an avira, that destroyed his malchus. He didn't wipe out Amalek properly, he didn't fight against Amalek as instructed, and his malchus was taken away from him. So the only way of correcting his mistake was to shatter his kingdom, i.e. take away the malchus from him. While David, anointed with a keren, I think the Alchemist says a keren cannot become Tommy. I think he says a keren, a horn of an animal, cannot become tummy, or if it can become tummy, it can certainly become tahar as well. You can make it tahar again. So David, for the things that went wrong during David's reign, he was able to he obtained forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He attained his kapara and his malchus continued. Shaul, for the things that he did wrong in his time as king, it wasn't a correctable error, and his malchus was taken away from him as a result. That's how the Alkem Amnes puts it. Now, a small remez here in the Sefer Zerah Yaakov. This is a Sefer written by an ancestor of, I think, of Eli Pick's wife, or maybe an ancestor of Eli Pick. I must ask him when he comes next week. She's Swiss, yeah. The Sefer Zerah Yaakov, he's got a whole long thing in the Sefer on this phrase, Hashem Sali, Hashem is my rock. And of the whole long thing, I only understood a tiny bit of it, but I'll tell you what he says. Hashem Sali, he quotes from a Sefer called Sha'arei Ora, that the Shem Hashem, the Yudke Vovke, is a force whereby HaKadosh Baruch Hu radiates MS and Tov, truth and goodness, down to Klal Yisrael. And that truth and goodness comes from the Shem Hashem, Yudke Vovke. What exactly that means, obviously I don't know. But he says, it's conditional. It's conditional upon Klal Yisrael learning Torah and keeping the mitzvahs. Then Hashem will radiate this goodness down to earth, down to Klal Yisrael. Hashem Sali, he says, the word Sali is Samach Olai. The letters are Samach Olai. Samach is 60. What's this? The 60 things are Olai upon me. What are the 60 things upon me? There are 60 Mesechtas and Shas. So Hashem, when is this Yud Kei Vav Kei effective in radiating goodness down to us on earth? Only Samach Olai, when we accept upon ourselves the Samach, the 60 Mesechtas of Shas. Right? River Emes. That's just a tiny fragment of what he writes there. The rest was beyond me. Okay. And 6. Oh yes, and I'll just finish this passage with one last thing, and that's on the word Mitzudasi. Hashem is my fortress, and I suspect I mentioned this last week actually. The Alkem Amnes explains that David describes Hashem as Sali, my welcome, Mitzudasi, my fortress, and so on and so forth. What David was saying was, when I look at my fortress, I build a fortress for my own protection. When I see the fortress, I don't see it as a fortress. I see it as Hashem protecting me via a fortress. In other words, David HaMelech was able to look at his strengths and not see them as his strengths, but rather as strengths from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mitzudasi, I may well build myself a fortress and find protection within that, but it's not really the fortress protecting me, it's really Hashem protecting me. And that's an important lesson, isn't it? You know, we should see all our protections as coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It reminds me of something that we discussed at home just recently. The last drosha that Rabbi Cooper Zecher Tzadik Livracha gave here in Shul was on Shmini Atzeres. It's a long time ago, long before... before he retired, before he became a bit too ill to really speak in public. And he said as follows. He says, on Shmini Atzeres, Sukkot is over, we leave our Sukkot and we go back to our homes. And he said as follows, what's the message of the Sukkot? The message of the Sukkot is it's a temporary residence, it's a bit flimsy, we feel a bit unprotected, we feel a bit open to the elements, and it's to teach us a lesson that we are under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection all the time, so we're prepared to go into a flimsy hut. And why? Because it's not the flimsy hut that's protecting us, it's really Hashem that's protecting us. So Rabbi Cooper says, when we go back from our Sukkah to our bayis at the end of Sukkot, it's for us to realize that the bayis really is actually just as flimsy as a flimsy sukkah, and what protected us in the sukkah, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, protects us just as much in our own bayis. And although we might feel more secure in the bayis, we shouldn't really. We should feel just as vulnerable in the bayis as we do in the sukkah, so that we recognize it's that same HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us in the sukkah. He protects us even when we feel a bit more protected naturally by the bias. It's not the bias that protects us. It's Hashem who protects us. He protects us in the sukkah, and we're meant to take that message back into the bias as well. So likewise here, we have an apostle, David sees his metzudah, his fortress, as really being divine protection all the way. And therefore it's Hashem who's described by all these adjectives. Hashem Sali, my rock, Umetzudosia, my fortress. My fortress is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu after all, not really my fortress, but it's really Hashem all the way.